Trek program.
It's time for action, gentlemen.
Gee, I'm very hot.
Program complete. Listen when ready.
It's my social interaction for the week.
I know. I'm like jamming it all in here in like this first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. People. We have people. I'm talking to people face to face. We have to get it all in.
All right. Since we're people talking about people, we're doing it. That's a song, isn't it?
I feel like it is. Well, yeah.
People. I'm not a good singer. Although I will admit, on my recent road trip, I popped in all my CDs I had from like the 90s that from like high school, college. So I was like rocking out to like some Lou Bega, Mambo Number 5, the South Park movie soundtrack. Some Bare Naked Ladies. I was cruising, man. Bare Naked Ladies. I was solid. So solid albums. Solid albums.
Nice road trip music.
Yes, Jeff, if we ever do karaoke, I will have to do my Bare Naked Ladies 1 week because I know every word.
I know a good chunk of it, but I can't say it as like clearly as some of those. But I love Bare Naked Ladies. They have good album.
They do.
So they have a song all about alcohol, which I think David would like.
Why is that, Jeffrey?
Because you like Bare Naked Ladies. Oh, and alcohol.
There it is.
And with that, welcome to the Nerd Trek Podcast, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jeff, and I'm here with Phil.
Hey, everybody.
And David.
Hey guys,
welcome. I don't know what's happening. It's just there's more Star Trek stuff.
Plenty's happening, but none of it's what we're talking about in the episode.
So we can't talk about. Yeah, there's stuff. So Phil and I will be on the cruise. Maybe David. That's a strong maybe.
David is strongly considering jumping on the cruise.
We're basically peer pressuring him into it.
The opposite. They're like, it's okay if you can't go, don't. And I'm like,
get on the boat.
Get on the damn boat.
Actually, we just want all three of us to walk on the boat and say, I'm on a boat, and then leave. That's all we're doing.
That's it. I'm just gonna walk off.
A boat.
We're going home.
All right. Today we are discussing Star Trek: Deep Space Nine, Season 2, Episode 5, Cardassians. Original air date October 24th, 1993. This is an interesting one. It's a Garrick episode. The main plot is there's a Cardassian boy who's been raised by a Bajorans because there's a whole lot of Cardassian war orphans who are left on the planet, which then leads to some interesting who gets custody of them. There's some political intrigue and stuff. This kind of reminds me of that TNG episode where they find that human boy living among those aliens. And he like it's the kid who stabs Jean-Luc. And they tried to figure out who we should go back to.
Oh.
And he's listening to like angry Klingon music and some other shit. And yeah.
Leave me alone with my music.
Right. Yeah.
I belong with my people.
The emo kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it kind of reminds me of that. But yeah, it's I think this is a solid Garrick episode because we haven't seen him in about a year.
It is. It is interesting how he's just everything's a mystery with Garrick.
I love it. I can see why people love Garrick.
Well, I do like it. I want to see how much gets revealed. Hopefully they do bring it all out in the course of seasons. But it's kind of nice to have that mysterious character hop in and out and be like, what is his deal? Because especially on this one, when he's like, I just like his explanation for everything. When he's like, oh, you know how to fix computers? And he's like, I've dealt with isolinear data a little bit. It's a hobby. Let's take a look. Like,
I dabble in it just a little bit.
Sewing. And it is. It's almost like an anti-James Bond. He is like smooth, but he's not like seductive smooth. He's just like, oh yeah, just happy go lucky. I kind of know things because I do stuff.
Just weird. He's a little seductive. He's trying to get into Julian's pants. He is.
You think so?
Oh yeah. One of the things that's funny, especially in this episode, is like, because if you watch it, no one really talks to Garrick except for Julian. So it's like one of those movies where like Julian has an imaginary friend. It's like Drop Dead Fred. And it's like, my friend Garrick told me we could do this. And they're like, we'll have Garrick come by. And they're like, but he can't come by. We have to go to Bajor. It's like no one ever talks to Garrick except for Julian.
I did find that was interesting. He goes and asks for the runabout, and then he's like, for Garrick? And he's like, you'd think he'd make Garrick go ask for it himself or something. Like, what pull is Julian supposed to have? I guess as a doctor, maybe, because of Starfleet. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah.
And Julian's just going along with it. He's like, because even Sisko's like, why are you going? He's like, I don't know.
Reasons, because.
I just want to go.
Because my buddy said he needed to.
I forgot to take my friend.
And the funny thing, too, is that Garrick he's not doing it for good reasons. He just wants to fuck over Dukat.
Dukat. Yeah.
That's the only reason he's doing it, not to help the kid. It's just like, I want to fuck this guy over.
Yeah, he hates Dukat.
I have to admit, and I'm warning you now, I paid close attention to this episode, and I'm still going to have you explain a few things to me, because I was still very confused by the end of the episode. Well, for starters, why did they leave all the orphans on the planet? Because Garrick was like, you think they didn't know, and they just decided to, and then Gal Dukat was like, no, we didn't have a choice, the like citizen leaders did. And Julian was like, no, but you don't answer to the citizen leaders. So did we get a resolution as to why the orphans were left there in the first place?
I had questions about this as well.
Oh, okay.
The Cardassians
you know things.
Exactly what they were doing.
They're just being dicks, yeah.
But then why did they leave them behind? If they knew what they were doing, what was the plan? Were they hoping these kids were going to grow up in, like, sleeper agents and Bajoran culture? Or, like, why didn't they take them with us? It seems like their culture, Cardassian culture, wouldn't allow them to just let these kids be.
I think it was just another way to plague the Bajorans with having to deal with Cardassians every single day.
Mm-hmm. It was a constant presence.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it didn't line up, because the dad was definitely telling the truth when he's like, family is everything to Cardassians and it's so important. I'm like, but they left all these, I guess they weren't family per se, huh?
See, but my first thought was, maybe were they like Cardassians who had kids with the Bajorans, so they were like mixed, and they're like, and so they Klingon were like being shunned
settlement. Yeah.
Yeah, like those like Romulan Klingon ones from that TNG episode. So I thought they were like being shunned, like, well, you're not quite either one, so you don't go anywhere. But none of them had like a Bajoran, you know, markings or like characteristics.
So that leads me to my second question, was that's what even whatever the answer to that would have been, which apparently we don't really have one, but that would have been all the normal, quote unquote, normal orphans. But they established that this kid was on DS9 at the time when it was called whatever it was called, and Gal Dukat was the guy running it. So why did the kid go to the orphanage? I never did get exactly why that was.
He wasn't on DS9. Gal Dukat kidnapped him and put him in the orphanage for like blackmail for a future time when he could fuck over
down
his dad.
The line.
Oh, okay. That's what I mean, is he was on DS9 because that's where he was transferred to the orphanage from. The lady that brought him from the station, and she was stationed there. At least that's what they indicated, I thought.
Yeah,
not like he lived there, but that's where he was transferred from.
Gal Dukat just told the lady, hey, we've got this orphan kid, take him to the orphanage center on Bajor. Not knowing that his father was actually stationed there on the station, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's all I mean, is it came from there, so
yeah,
that's how they incriminated Gal Dukat and the whole thing.
Correct.
Yeah,
it was his order
they got him,
yeah, to do it, because he was planning this blackmail for like 8 years.
Yeah, he was playing the long game.
Kidnapped a kid. Yeah, and did all the shit, because now that all these investigations were coming up post occupation, he's like, hey, shit's gonna go down, and this is my secret weapon.
Yeah, and I get the okay, so that makes sense. That was most of it. I just like at the end they had like this whole reveal of the fact that the kid came from the station back then, and it was Gal Dukat, and I kind of was still sitting there going, okay. And then everybody's like, oh, and I'm like, what? What did they what did you say that I'm not understanding? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I got that it was kind of a thing, but I didn't understand why it was this catch-all aha moment that.
And that's why Garrick was so invested, because he wants to fuck over Dukat. That's why he was going to do
cost,
it.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, and this is
well,
great.
Well, no, that's not why Garrick was invested. Gal Dukat had done that, and that's why he was invested, because he was trying to screw over the kid's dad, wasn't he?
But that's why Garrick wanted to
Dukat. Garrick wanted to try and get one back on Dukat.
Okay. So he was trying to get him, and then Gal Dukat was trying to get the dad, and
it's a vicious circle.
Triangle of fuckery.
Cardassians, okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
Where was I going with that? I had a thought, and then it just left. My thought left.
Bye.
So this, well, you know, and then this brings up actually Miles O'Brien's issues with the Cardassians as well, because at first he's like, why is this kid here? Like, yeah, Bloody Cardies, which as much as it, and this is something we've talked about, you know, on here before about the Cardassians, is like, as much as we always talk about racism and sexism, and it's like, you can't judge an entire species. That's exactly what Miles does. And he has more issues down up the line in the show. But I think he kind of gets there with this one, trying to teach this kid, like, well, you can't hate everybody.
Well, it's interesting, he's giving that speech, and I'm sitting here going, but that's like your thing.
That's
his
thing. Like,
oh, yeah, going all the way back to the fourth season of TNG when his old captain Maxwell goes rogue and is trying to prove, like, what was going on between the Cardassians and all that shit. Yeah, that's why he has those prejudices, because he's fought against the Cardassians in war.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny when they have what I call the stepbrothers moment, where they're like, I hate the Cardassians. And he's like, I hate the Cardassians. And it's almost like, can we just become best friends?
Like, yay!
Oh, when they eat that soup and they like when they push talk, it away.
Yep. Clink.
Clink.
Yeah.
The Lady and the Tramp moment. That was their spaghetti.
That was it.
Hey, you hate them. I hate them. We should hate them together.
Let's hate them together. Yeah. What else? Yeah, so that's kind of it. And they decide that he gets to go back with the Cardassians, which is, I mean, I get their point, but it's like, you can't really win either way, I think.
Well, and I do like that. It's a no-win scenario that, you know, TNG, it would have been like, okay, something would happen to wrap it all up in a nice package. Mm-hmm. And they'd find some twist or something that made the whole thing right in some way.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was like, sorry, there's the mediator and they try to make the best decision possible, but there's no way to make the kid and the dad happy and everybody. And I think it was the least wrong decision that they made. Like, it wasn't the right one, but it's the least wrong.
Well, and then especially at the end when his father is walking with Sisko and he's like, you know, thank you for giving me my son back. You've done me a favor. I'm always going to remember this. And then Sisko's like, hey, maybe bring the rest of the orphans back. And he's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. TNG, it would have been like a much bigger, greater thing. He'd be like, they'd show them getting all released or something like that.
Yeah.
And it is. It's like they did a great thing. They did technically the right thing for the dad, even if they didn't necessarily do the right thing for the kid. We'll find out. Because that kid's going to have one hell of an adjustment. Like,
yeah, because he hates everybody.
Yeah, he hates everybody he's around.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, everybody must have hated him there. And I'm like, well, yes and no. I mean, people who got to know him, like O'Brien, probably do see past. But is there initial reactions? Absolutely, I'm sure.
Sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
He gets a lot of surprise responses.
Well, and it's interesting, too. It's like every Cardassian, it seems, at least what we're showing, has some agenda. Like, no one's doing anything out of the kindness of their heart. There's not just like, hey, we should just help people, except for that one from the Kira of the episode. Well, I mean, but he even kind of had an agenda, too.
Yeah.
But just
they always do.
Yeah. But like,
there's always some subterfuge or something going on with the Cardassians.
Yeah.
Like they. Yeah.
Well, especially up to this point, Dukat has been not evil, like not a villain, but he's just kind of like straddling that line of like, he's just a dick. But it's, you know, in the trilogy that opened this season where he's like, oh, you know, we just heard that you found this guy in a labor camp. You know, we're really sorry about that. And you kind of know he's just like feeding you some bullshit, but he's not being like outright dickish about it. And then this happens. You're like, oh, this dude fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
he totally did this on purpose
in a prison show or movie where you have that warden that you hate. And it's not that he's evil, but he's just a hard ass. And you're like, they're just not a nice person.
Yeah.
Even if he's not doing things that are quote unquote wrong.
Yeah, he's against the hero, so we have to not like him.
Yeah, it's by the book, but it's not a book we like. Right.
But then you get to this one and you get Dukat, who's like, because right at the last second, you're like, dude, he kidnapped a kid and kept him in an orphanage on Bajor for 8 years for the potential it could harm his father in a.
At some point down the line.
You're like, fuck you, dude.
Say, you'd think there'd be not a resolution, but a consequence to that.
Yeah.
Well, like even the Cardassians would have to be like, you did what? Like, demotion.
Well, you know, no, because then it would come out that he, because they're all hiding it. They're all, like, they're hiding it that he even had a son, or his son wasn't, or something. So it's like covering for everybody.
But that's the thing, is the guy, the dad was like, this is going to ruin my political career. And he was ready to do that for his kid. And then when everything came out, he's like, you saved my political career. For that to be the case, all of this would have to become public, including why his kid was there. So there's no cover up there. It's that means either there's consequences, or the Cardassians are like, he did what? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Like, it's like a Ferengi screwing someone over for money. They'd be like, good job. Like,
yeah. It's kind of a wash.
And if it was Bajorans or something, I would buy that they might go with that. But it's just, this was a Cardassian dad and kid. And they, again, he talks about how family's everything to the Cardassians. I'm like,
but they don't want to admit that. I mean, because I'm guessing Dukat is probably kind of a hero to the Cardassians somewhat, like, you know, from during the occupation. They don't want to admit that this hero, or, you know, public figure, kidnapped a kid to fuck someone over, like, because that looks bad for them, and then it looks bad for them, and they don't want to, that's just too much bad.
It's kind of an assumption,
press,
but okay.
Kind of thing.
I would have thought it'd be the other way around if it got out, and obviously the Federation knows, and all these people know, that if it got out, then that would be bad for the Cardassians, so they would want to have a punishment or something already. I don't know. To be like, he did that, not us. Like, that was him, and we punished him for it. Like,
but the Cardassians don't care. They're not.
I guess, but that's, like, why not? Because it seems like their society would care.
They don't have
about
to answer to anybody. They don't have to. They're not part of the Federation. They don't care about the Bajorans. So what do they give a shit?
I guess. I still feel a little incomplete, but I'll buy it.
Sorry. No one dies in the episode. There are no Ferengi shenanigans, and Odo does not turn into anything.
That is true.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
Except for all the intrigue and kidnapping.
Except for all the weird shit happening.
It was interesting, but of a different kind.
Yeah.
Different kind. Yes.
It's just not good for our kill tracker.
No. Phil, what are your thoughts on this one?
I like this episode. It was really interesting to see, even with all the shit that the Bajorans have been through, how they took in all of these orphan kids, Cardassian kids, and seemed to treat them decently. Yeah. And it also kind of broke your heart a little bit. Like when Julian and Garrick beam down to the adoption center and they're talking to the administrator or whoever she was, and like all the kids are gathering around and they're like, are you coming to take us home? And they're like, like that gif of like of Homer Simpson, like, disappearing into
the hedge,
into the hedge. Yeah. It's like,
well, cause when those kids see Garrick, that's probably the first Cardassian they've seen.
Yeah. They're like,
in a long time. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
which would make
since,
sense. That
before
would be
the,
their assumption.
Since the end of the occupation, so. Oh,
year and a half, 2 years. Home?
Or, yeah, I guess that's true. About a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see that. And you kind of see the Bashir-Garrick relationship forming, and kind of how weird Bashir is still acting towards Garrick, which is kind of funny. Yeah. He's like, what?
I'm liking Julian better between this one and the next one. I think he's kind of settling in. They've gotten rid of some of that schmoozy Julian. He's just kind of being.
I got some words on that in the next one, maybe.
But it's at least it's more consenting in the next one.
Fucking creep with
Julian. I was gonna say it's a natural build in the next one. That's consensual. I have no problems with Julian in the next one, but anywho.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll talk about it in the next one. Stay tuned.
We will.
So it's a really good episode otherwise. I kind of like how they piece it all together, and he like has his Matlock like gotcha moment with Dukat and stuff. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
When it is interesting to me that nobody else is suspicious of Garrick. You notice that? It's only Julian who's like, something's up, and everybody else is like, nah, you're imagining it. He's just a simple tailor.
No.
And it's like nobody else questions this at all.
I just don't think anyone else cares as much as Julian. They're kind of like, okay.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, whatever.
Well, but here's the thing is, and I know a little bit from some of those memes that come down the line, you know, from future Garrick episodes, but I like their relationship because, you know, Julian is trying to kind of like, you know, figure this out. And Garrick is just full of mystery and lies and
misdirection and everything. Yeah.
But I like that conversation towards the end when Julian's like, I just wish you would tell me everything. And he's like, I've told you all, like all the crumbs are here. You just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's not wrong. I mean, like, if you just probably tried a little bit harder or put together what he has told you, you could probably figure it out.
Use them brain cells.
Yeah. But I like
that. I want it spoon fed.
Exactly.
He's a solid character. Definitely. David, what's your rating on this one?
I do like this one. I am liking Garrick is becoming a higher and higher quality character that I'm looking forward to seeing when I see an episode pop up. Rating? I'm going to give it an 8. Part of that is just it probably would have gotten another point if I had been able to follow exactly what had happened by the end of the episode. Because it's no mystery that a lot of the times I'll be doing something else while I have the episodes on, and I'm not exactly watching them. What?
He's playing a game right now while he says that.
Yes, I am.
Not wrong.
But this time I actually did. I turned off the distractions and like watched, especially at the end. And I went back and watched it a couple of times, and I was like, no, I'm still not like 100% sure. I got the general concept of what was going on, but the details.
A lot of shit like, happened all at once.
I don't understand, and they went through it real fast, and it's not super, super clear.
They leave it a little vague. They don't outright accuse him of, like, you did this, but they're like, hey, this ties to this, which ties to this, and like, hey, you were they're in charge like, of that.
They're, like, starting to connect the dots around.
And usually you'd have, like, that one person, off. You know, O'Brien with a confused face is like, so you mean this happened to this? Like,
just kind of wrap it up.
Who would snap them together, and nobody did that.
Explain it, yeah.
Wait, are you saying more succinctly that he did this? Yes.
Why, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Thank you for repeating that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think too. There was a line that Sisko said in this that made me like him a lot more. I think it was when they asked him to be the mediator. No, it was something else.
Do you object?
But I do like that where he's like, I'll do it, but you know, do you have a problem because I'm Starfleet? No, it was something else that he said, and I was like, that's a very non-Picard or like non-anything else answer.
There was a scene I liked where he's on the view screen and then Julian comes in and like starts asking questions and then Sisko was like,
oh, right.
How dare you come in and do that? And he goes, oh no, but it was the highlight of my day.
That's what it was.
Don't fucking do it again.
It was the highlight of my day. Don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
That was the way it was phrased was very much like, you should be in trouble. I'm not going to get you in trouble, but don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Yeah.
You're just like, lucky that I laughed it. Just enough in the back of my head to not get you in trouble for this.
Yeah. You gambled and you won. So
yeah.
Don't gamble again.
Play. Don't
it
do
was
it
good.
Again.
Yeah. I agree. Solid episode. I like bringing Garrick back, getting more into the Cardassian, the Bajoran stuff, you know, and I think it just works better. I like, which is, I mean, kind of what we've been talking about for this whole first season and then into the second is that, like, I like getting to know these characters more. We're seeing these longer arcs of, like, dealing with Dukat, because obviously he comes back. You know, he's going to be there for the next 5 years, 6 years, whatever. And then so it's like you see these little bits start to connect, and it all leads towards something. So
And I am starting to see that. Part of what made me excited for DS9 was the fact that people were telling me after we did our Aiming to Misbehave, a Firefly podcast. Go check that out. But when we did that, people were telling me that they thought I'd really like DS9 because it's similar in that it's the same characters and their interactions that really drives the show and such. And I'm starting to see that now. They definitely take a lot longer to get their footing and mesh than they did in Firefly because Firefly was over by now. But like... But that is what I'm seeing as the driving force and the most interesting part, because I'm on here wanting to see Julian and Garrick talk to each other, or Kira and Sisko start to define their relationship a little bit more and get to do that, or Odo and Ferengi boy. Quark.
Yeah.
That one slipped me for a second. But that whole thing, you know, we see that in the next episode, too, where it's like, I'll do my job, unfortunately. Like,
there's still a story there, of the week. There's still a plot of the week, but you get this growth from the characters that I think, so as much as I love TNG, sometimes it always felt like you're kind of reintroduced to those characters every episode because it's a brand new story. It's a brand new thing. And every time, this time you have the established relationships. So you know kind of how it's going to go, but it's like, what's the new twist?
Yeah, and I think that some of it is they cut out some of the introduction of the characters again every episode, because who knows if it's in syndication. And then they they do character development, but obviously not every episode. There is some filler stuff. And I think that's the difference. In Firefly, there was like major character development pretty much every episode. Something in the story of the week revealed something about somebody on the ship in a big way.
I think that's the difference between a show that kind of knew it was sitting like hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, got to keep shit moving, versus a show like this where they kind of had a really good idea. It's like, okay, this is going to be another long-term series where we have time and we know we have time. We're not necessarily going to be kicked off the air next year or whatever. Yeah, we've got 150, 170 episodes to flesh everything out we want to.
Yeah, they had the luxury of being able to be like, we've got our time.
Many shows where they're like, hey, we're pretty much guaranteed at least a couple seasons to tell a good story. And Star Trek's one of those where like, they're not going to do a one and done. Like, even if people don't like it, they'll do a couple seasons at least and do a full story.
And this is the first time they were able to do that because of TNG's success.
Yeah.
Because TOS never knew if they were getting another episode. Even the animated series didn't know if they were getting another episode or another season.
Yeah, I mean, Enterprise is the only show that really got shafted because it didn't even make it to 100 episodes. It only got 4 seasons in.
But it got 4 seasons. Right. Like, you knew it being a Star Trek show. It's that, you know,
they would get a couple. Well, but there's just different circumstances. What, you know, like when we talked to John about, like, you know, being on UPN and just kind of how TV was at the time. And it was a lot of different factors happening.
They got really hosed.
Yeah. If it was on streaming or syndication, they could have easily gone 7.
Yeah. Being on UPN and where it was at following Voyager, it was a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It just wasn't
We will definitely be talking about that when we get Enterprise.
We'll get there. Yeah. No, I think, good, solid episode. I'm enjoying season 2 so far. I think this is DS9's really hitting its stride. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's very good.
Cool. Any other parting thoughts?
Nope. I think that mostly does it.
Cool. All right. David, sir, why don't you tell us about our other Nerd Trek products and things?
Find out what's your Nerd Trek at thenerdtrek.com. We got links to our social medias. You can buy some of our stuff. You can see our faces if you really want to. And whenever you are done being a sly, seductive tailor, you can give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll read that out over the air. And while you're there, check out some of our other podcasts, such as the Nerd Trek Movie Club, where you can see us do pretty much this with other people about movies that aren't Star Trek. Which isn't the right pitch for it. It is very, very interesting. Jeff has had on a lot of interesting different people, myself being one of them, about lots of different movies. I think he is doing a wonderful job with that. You can also check out the one I'm not doing a great job with, 10 Minute Expert, where I've got about 3 episodes out. But I'm trying to make you an expert in a nerdy subject in 10 minutes or less. And there is more coming, I promise. It has been a crazy time, but they will be coming. So go check one out as well if you don't want to listen to an hour-long episode.
And then write in to tell us what kind of podcast you want Phil to host by himself.
What?
Yes, currently in the running is a
Free time.
ER podcast, West Wing. Or West Wing.
Lego?
I may watch through West Wing. I've seen some clips and stuff where I'm like, you know what? I might give this a shot.
So
ER and West Wing are my number one and number two shows of all time. But you can't do a West Wing podcast. The best West Wing podcast has already been done.
Yeah. You know what's between TikTok and Instagram, like the second I watch one video clip that shows from like one of those shows,
they all flood in.
Fucking algorithm.
Yeah, the algorithm's like, clip hey, you that. Like that, do you? You like that? Here's some more.
So it's like half naked nerd girls and then like West Wing clips. That's all my feed is now. So it's like, what else? It just knows.
Yeah, they're like, you liked that one? Oh, here's all of them.
Here's every clip.
Yeah. Here's all of the West Wing. We're just going to do it 30 seconds at a time.
See, I don't even have to watch it now. I've just seen all the clips. It's fine.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. All right. That is it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. And we will catch you on the next one.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.